Cause on my best day, I'm a child of God. And on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. And you're the reason why I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. And when I count the problems that I see, hope looks all but gone. But when I count the ways you're good to me, you got me counting all day long. Cause on my best day, I'm a child of God. And on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. And you're the reason why I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. Cause on my best day, I'm a child of God. And on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. And you're the reason why. Cause on my best day, I'm a child of God. And on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. And you're the reason why. I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed.
Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have Zach and Lily come up for their special.
Brother Michael asked us to sing this today, and I know that I've probably sang this a billion times, but I personally feel like this song is almost like my personal testimony, because anytime I feel like my faith is really low or like I'm kind of stuck in a pit and I don't think I'm going to get out, this song reminds me that God tells me that if he can walk on the water when he was on earth and speaking to the wind and it hushes and it obeys him, then there isn't much, you know, anything too big that I can ask him that he won't be able to do. And just to share a quick verse with you, at the end of John 21, it says that there's so many other things that Jesus did when he was on earth, that if each one were written down, the world itself couldn't contain the books that would have to be written. So what's a small request from us when our faith is low? So I hope this song is a blessing to you like it is for me. Ooh, see, now I need a second.
Thank you.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance that everything's gonna be alright. And Lord, I see another battle, and it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat.
Take a look behind you at just how far you've come. And every time you asked me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? Searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low. He says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing. Oh, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging seas? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to you? I hear you when you called. I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I'd found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I leave all of die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Amen. Let's stand. It's an F. Was an F, Sister Esther? Sister Esther, was an F? If you're looking to rise, rise in the morning. If you're looking to rise, rise in the morning. If you're looking to rise in the morning, better get ready in the evening time. If you're looking for the voice, voice of the resurrection, if you're looking for the voice, if you're looking for the voice of the resurrection, his voice is in his bride. body change. If you want a body change. If you want a body change, just eat, eat from the body word of God. If you're looking to rise. If you're looking to rise. If you're looking to rise in the morning, better get ready in the evening time. If you're looking for the voice. If you're looking for the voice. If you're looking for the voice of the resurrection, his voice is in his bride. If you want a body change, if you want a body change, oh, if you want a body change, just eat, eat from the body word of God. If you're looking to rise. If you're looking to rise. If you're looking to rise in the morning, better get ready in the evening time. Just sing this as we call our brother out. Get ready for the changing of the service. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, he's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Amen. You love the Lord this evening. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back in his house again and just go right into the word this evening. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, I believe we'll just try to carry the thought from this morning on a little farther this evening and pray the Lord will bless it and just quicken it to us. And you know, it does take him breaking the bread of life to our hearts, amen. We can't impart anything. It takes the Lord to do it for us. But I believe we come hungering and thirsting. He'll sure feed our souls, amen. So we just enjoy our time here. I really am sorry my wife couldn't come with me and our little daughter. But Lord willing, next time they'll be able to come along.
And she does get a little better about those longer trips, which is not that long. It's only three and a half hours. Used to be she getting 4 hours would be the very most she could take, but she's getting a little better. So we just look forward. We really look forward to the day we'll never have to part again. Amen. I believe it's right on us now. So we thank the Lord for it. Maybe just before we read his word, let's go to him once more in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to gather again this evening around your word. And we do pray, Father, you'll come and anoint it. Lord, now may our hearts be open to receive, and may you come, Lord, and minister. I have, Lord, something on my heart, but, Lord, it'll take you to guide it and direct it. And you know every person, every need, and you know how to speak to that, Father. So we pray that you will, and we just ask you to minister in our midst this evening and be glorified and honored in all that is said and done. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's read Acts chapter 26 and beginning at verse number 6. I actually need to find it myself here. Acts 26, beginning at verse 6. And Paul, I realized looking through the Acts this afternoon, there's three different accounts of Paul's conversion. And this was probably the last time he shared it before King Agrippa. And he was saying here, he said, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things, contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from above, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. I remember there was an angel that met Daniel that changed his position. Amen. And here is someone meeting Saul and striking him to the ground, but then changing his position again. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Christ did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. It's a lengthy reading, but you can be seated this evening. I want to continue on the prevailing power of Revelation, but I want to title tonight's message that the mystery of God should be finished. Remember, Revelation is from the Greek word apocalypse, which is the unveiling or is the revealing of something that was previously a mystery. Amen. And so I want to just go right in because I've got a number of things, and I paraphrase this quote this morning, but the prophet of God says this, or this is from the Church Ages book. He says, now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she, what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Satan knows this. That's why he's trying so hard to block it, but he can't. Amen. If they get a revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, you see, that's the thing we're realizing. It's not so much out there. It's even here, and it's trying to come in here. Right? It's just trying to to compromise each of us as individuals who make up that church. By if they get a revelation of the two spirits and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, you see, it's not in our heads. In our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen. Amen. Now, I was looking for, I had the word immutable here. Where was I seeing that? We know God is immutable, and it seemed like there was something here I was catching out of what Brother Branham said. Immutable. So let's just look, because I looked up the definition of that. I'd never looked at it before. It said immutable means not capable of or susceptible to change.
Right.
And I thought, Brother Boyd, I thought that's pretty good. God is not capable of changing,
right.
Nor is he susceptible to change. Now, we live in a world that is constantly changing. We live in circumstances and conditions that are constantly changing. But God never changes. His word never changes. So no matter what happens with the opposition or the adversary, amen, to the word of God, it doesn't change him at all, because he is incapable of changing, and he's not susceptible to any change. Amen. So that shows you, amen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he built his church on an unmovable and unshakable foundation. Amen. And his church carries the same characteristics as himself. Amen. They are omnipotent. Amen. They are invincible because they are the reflection of his characteristics. Amen. So when that When that really anchors in your heart, amen, it will give us confidence in who we are and how he has placed us, amen, here as a part of his church or his earthly body, amen, manifesting himself. And so that's why I read you these scriptures here out of Acts 26, because Paul was simply trying to do God a service without it being his will. And then one day he met the person of the Old Testament letter. He met the person of the word, Christ, in the form of the pillar of fire. And then he realized what he had been persecuting was actually Christ's body here on the earth. Yeah. And as I told you this morning, Revelation doesn't just show you something. It actually brings you into that very thing, amen, and incorporates you into it as a living part of it. You've heard the expression, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, that's what happened with Saul. He was trying to beat the church, and then he ended up just being brought right into it, amen, and sent to the church. And even the apostle Peter had to acknowledge that Paul had the revelation, amen, of the word of God and of the person of Christ, the resurrected Christ, amen, which is actually what the preaching of a resurrected Christ is, what brought Paul to a crucifixion himself. Preaching a living, resurrected Christ, present tense, amen, not even a historical figure, that's what got Paul killed, amen. But it was a revelation to him, and so it could not be extinguished. So I kind of had to cut off just for the sake of time this morning, but I was showing you how John saw his name in the Lamb's Book of Life there in Revelation chapter 5. And he realized when the Lamb prevailed, I prevailed. He saw himself there represented in that lamb, in that sacrifice. And so it changed his worship even. He went from weeping to worshiping everything in the earth, in the heavens, and everything beneath the earth, in the sea, and all that was therein. Heard John rejoicing, amen, when he saw his name. The prophet of God shares it in the seals. John saw his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that revelation, amen, enabled John to go back, write the book of Revelations, and then live out the rest of his life as an overcomer, as a victor there in the Ephesian age. So, but that book is mentioned again a little later in the book of Revelation. And it has a great meaning to you and I here in the last of the ages. Amen. You believe we're living in the last of the ages today. Amen. So this book, amen, was mentioned in Revelation 5, but it's picked up again in Revelation chapter 10. And again, I know you are believers of the message, and I'm not reading you scriptures that you're not familiar with, but I'm hoping the Lord will help just anchor this in your heart and illuminate it maybe in an even greater way. So he says here, I'm reading from Revelation chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1. He says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. See, there's the book again. This is the same book that John saw in Revelation chapter 5, closed, waiting for one who was worthy to come and open the book. Now, there was only one worthy, and it was not John, and it was no mortal man, but it was Christ himself. He proceeded forth from the throne of God as the Lamb of God. God the King, amen, God the Father, became the Son, or became the sacrifice, became the Lamb to satisfy his own requirements for redemption. He became a kinsman redeemer. God condescended, became a blood cell in the womb of the Virgin Mary, amen, and was birthed here into the earth, amen, to take upon us himself the sins of the world, amen, and to redeem you and I. From the fall, from everything, to undo the second Adam, undid everything the first Adam did.
Yes, sir, brother and sister. Everything that was forfeited there in Eden was restored by the second Adam, amen, right after the Garden of Gethsemane. So in the Garden of Eden, it was lost. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And that, Brother Branham said, he was prevailing in Gethsemane. He was prevailing on Calvary, but that was the result of Gethsemane. Amen. He was wrestling with even his own will as a mortal man, not wanting to have to go to the cross and suffer and endure that. But the will, the revelation prevailed. His purpose prevailed. The reason God had sent him to the earth, the reason God came to the earth, that revelation prevailed. It's beautiful. I see it in so many things, you see. So here, this book, John saw it. The Lamb proceed forth in Revelation 5. Take the book, open it, and it immediately changed their worship. But then they worshiped him as their Redeemer, and they were kings and priests. They saw their position. Amen. And thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. So here, we're picking it up now in Revelation chapter 10, and this is part of the opening of the seals. This is in the sequence or order of the seals being revealed. Amen. And so he's here, verse 2 of chapter 10, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. Now remember, this is Christ. It can only be Christ, because only he can open the book. Amen. Amen. But there's something happening here. There's a transition of the book, or the book, amen, is changing places in a sense. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, as John speaking, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. This was on Patmos 2,000 years ago. John heard what was uttered, but he was forbidden to write it, because it was to be sealed for an appointed time. I want to say this tonight. With divine revelation comes a divinely appointed timing for the revelation to be made known. Amen. I was discussing this with a brother over lunch. You can see a truth, something can be revealed to you, and you want so badly to show it to someone else. But there's a divinely appointed time for that. And your faith in the truth has to be there and hold consistent until God does. If it's a lost loved one, if it's a child, if it's a parent, doesn't matter. Amen. You hold your faith right there, believing until God's timing clicks into place and he does what you're believing for. And don't you stop believing. Don't you stop praying. Your prayer may help what is going on in the supernatural that is blocking that from taking place, may help that prevail. Amen. You hold your faith steadfast and believe it until God opens the understanding and the eyes of the other. You see, amen. And see that, knowing that will give you faith and will rest you. You're not all upset about what's going on in the interim. You're believing to an end. You are believing to a result. And you're not going to stop believing, amen, until you see it take place. And you may go by the way of the grave looking for that, believing. But God will perform according to your faith. Absolutely. So never give up believing. Never give up believing, amen. Praise God. Lord, help me to stay on track here. So something was uttered. John heard it, but it was sealed up. I can read verses 5 and 6. The angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, I want to read this, and you've got a good pastor here. And if I say anything wrong, he'll get it straightened out.
I'm sure of that. But I want to read this out of another version of the Bible. And I saw this many, many years ago. And you remember we used to carry back in the before the digital age, we have the little blue Greek diglot. If you, some of you remember the Greek diglot. If you look at this in the Greek diglot, it phrases this just a little differently than it is phrased in the King James Version. But it is not a departure or a deviation from the actual context. Right. It's actually showing you what is meant by this phrase, that time should be, that there should be time no longer. Here's what the Amplified says. And swore an oath by the name of him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. Or that time should be delayed no more. Amen.
Right.
Now, you remember the Brother Branham, when he taught on the seals, he said that seventh angel's message is to tie up those loose ends. Right. Or things that were held in reserve until the seventh angel's message. Yeah. Things that had Luther stayed with the revelation to follow the pillar of fire, he'd have worked right into it. He'd have come right into it, but he was cut off. Right. His life ended, the age ended, but the revelation progressed, right? There were things that were not revealed. Brother Branham, I'm paraphrasing it or putting it into my own words, right, but they were truths that were too precious to be revealed prematurely. Because what did he say in the seals? Satan would have done great damage. Amen. Had he seen this or had this been released prematurely. But now, in the time of the seventh angel's message, the time of the revealing should be delayed no more. There is a divinely appointed time for revelation to proceed, amen, to produce a certain result, a reaction, or a product, amen. That is the actual revelation itself manifesting. Oh, brother and sister, I hope you don't think I'm out on a limb, because I'm not. But there are things that God has held and has masked. He's taught it in parable. He's given it in shadow. He's given it in type. Brother Ben said the rapture is typed all throughout the scriptures, but it's a mystery. Amen. It's held there for a divinely appointed time, and one day it'll be quickened or it'll be released, and then we'll just vanish. From no one will even know what's happened. We'll just have been called away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Right. Amen. So that there will be delay no longer. Now you understand. I'm not trying to change the scripture, but we think here. You know, if you just read this, that time should be no more. Well, hey, time ends. Time stops. There's no more time. We go into eternity, and all this happens at the seventh angel's ministry. Well, you've got to see that in a better context. Yeah. Understand, time is still going on. But the time of this being delayed, or this the time of this being held in the mystery form, that time has come to an end.
Right.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. That's my title tonight.
Amen.
The mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. You say, Brother Tim, what mystery? Amen. The mystery that opened when the Roman thrust his spear into his side. There was a mystery that was released. Just as Adam had a mystery released from his side in Eden. And the mystery was the feminine expression of himself. The mystery was him in a her.
That's
exactly right. Her name was Mrs. Adam and did not become Eve until she fell in the transgression. She had his name, his identification, his life,
but she had long hair. She had she was the feminine expression of him, birthed here or formed into a body to continue his life, to be the bedding ground by which his life could be reproduced here in the earth. That is the bride. She is the mystery of Christ revealed. And that's what Paul met. He met the form, he met the pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire said, I am incarnated in this church, in this people, and in this body. And it brought Paul into the mystery. And then Paul began to preach the mystery and say, you know what? These are Gentiles, but they're saved by faith. They're saved. The gospel has opened now. It's not restricted to Jews. It's not restricted to Hebrews. It's not restricted to a bloodline or a lineage. It's actually the faith of God, amen, revealed now. And again, it tore down all those barriers. And I don't have a lot of time to expound on it, but you understand, amen. It was the mystery of God then at the church being revealed in its infancy. From Pentecost and the Ephesian age down through the successive ages, amen, the church was being formed here through each age, and a messenger would be sent with a message that would call the believer to their position and their placing in that portion or that segment of the body for that period of time. And you did not get into that body without hearing that message. You did not become incorporated into that or be birthed into that apart from the Word of God, which was an entrance. The Word of God is an entrance for you believing that Word to be placed and positioned in the body of Jesus Christ. And in each age, he had a messenger, which was a vindicated messenger with a message to call a people of that age. And they would be sealed away under that messenger's message. And then the next stage would come and others. Oh my, I feel good here. The mystery of God should be finished, brought to completion. The bride made whole. The last member brought in under the seventh angel's message. And when the last one comes in, the book will be closed. The gospel will turn back to the 144,000. The bride will be raptured. The two prophets will go. And then we'll go into the marriage supper and then return for a millennial reign. That's exactly right. Oh, my. The mystery of God should be finished. And again, this is kind of tying into the prevailing revelation. See, and you can see it brings... When truth is presented, when truth is preached, it starts a war. When a trumpet sounds, it starts a war. So when the ministry came to this earth in the seventh angel's messenger, it started a great stir. Amen. But it has produced a bride. It has produced a people, the body of Jesus Christ. So I want to move to, brother, if you've got it there, quote, I just called it quote number two. Questions and answers on the seals. Here's the question. Is it true that every Jew born since Christ that came into the world is to be saved? No. Nothing will be saved, only those names, which those names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, Jew or Gentile. See, that's it. The book holds that mystery. And I want you to see, I'm just caught some things in here today that I had never stood out so vividly to me before. The book holds that mystery, and the book is only unfolding it now, not each one's name, but what the mystery of the book is, while it's calling those names.
Amen.
You see, names are still being called. Didn't end when the prophet left the scene. didn't end when the last message was preached in 1965. Those names are still being called. John had been filled with the Holy Ghost, but then years later saw his name in the book. And so Brother Branham says, I wish I could remember now the message, but if there is a gospel, the gospel, Brother Branham said, the preaching of the gospel is the sounding of the Jubilee trumpet.
Yes. Right.
And so as long as the gospel is being preached and as long as there's someone to respond
Amen.
To that, there's still mercy.
Yes.
Amen. There's still grace. Amen. If you're desiring mercy
right.
and grace, there's more to be had. The names are still being called, but the book is now being revealed under the ministry and the message of the seventh angel messenger. Amen. And we're close to the end. The last name could be called tonight. The last one could be birthed into the body tonight. Amen. Tomorrow we could be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Before tomorrow. It wouldn't be too soon. Amen. It could happen in the next few minutes. Amen. But you see what's being here, what he says here. All right, the book holds that mystery, and the book is only unfolding it now, not each one's name, but what the mystery of the book is. Now, I just say this tonight. Any ministry that turns the revelation of the word back into a mystery doesn't come from God.
Right.
Amen.
We are living in the hour when the mysteries have been revealed.
Yes.
Any ministry that takes the simplicity of the word as preached to us by God's prophet, he made it pretty simple. If they make it complex and mysterious again, I'd run from it if I were you.
That's right.
I really would. Because it's simple. God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. All right, you understand that now, see? Paragraph 115, the book doesn't say, now, Lee Vail is to be saved in this time of this church age, or Orman Neville, or whoever. No, it don't say that. It just shows the mystery, unfolds the mystery of what the thing is. But we ourselves, by faith, believe it.
Amen.
See, remember Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith fail not. See, faith reaches out and latches onto the revealed word of the hour and draws it into the, or draws the person into it. Is that right? Someone said, well, there's no need in me trying it, Brother Branham. There's only one to be saved out of Jeffersonville. See? Now, see, it's showing a parable. That isn't it. There might be thousands saved. I don't know. I hope every one of them is saved, but I don't know. But here is the way I want to believe it. I'm that one.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. See, that's faith. Here's the way I want to believe it. I'm that one. You believe the same for you. If you don't, then there's something wrong with your faith and you don't know what you're doing. Amen. I don't want to get too scattered here. But again, the Jubilee trumpet only had an appeal to an Israelite. When that trumpet sounded, there was all kinds of nations and peoples and walks of life. And, you know, they just heard a trumpet blow.
Yeah.
Mean anything to them, but to a Jew, to an Israelite, to a Hebrew, he was listening for that trumpet because that trumpet opened up to him a law that enabled him to walk back to the homeland, be restored to his inheritance and his possession, regardless of what anybody else thought about it or said about it. That's what the message is to you and I. It is our Jubilee trumpet, so it captures our attention. Amen. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit. You didn't hear a Kentuckian with a school grade education. You heard Christ. You heard your name being called from the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And you responded to that. Amen. And that is invincible. Oh my. So I want to show you again. I feel like I'm kind of in a teaching mode here, but it's pretty good. Amen. So this book, here now in Revelation, it's actually coming to the earth, but it's coming through a certain channel.
Right.
Let me find it here. The days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice, now this is John speaking, the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. So now it's time for John, who represented us,
Amen.
To go and take this book. But I want to interject this in here. From 1963, the breach between the seven church ages and the seals. Paragraph 299. Talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when that lamb walked forth. See, the book is even sealed in heaven. The mysteries are. And you say, is my name there? I don't know. I hope it is. But if it was, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption come the lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world, and he took the book, opened the book, and tore off the seals. See, the seals is what bound the mystery. The seals is what held something there. It's almost like if you've ever seen something with a great power, a great potential, it has to be bound by something to hold it until it's released. Right? He opened the book and tore off the seals and sent it down to the earth to the seventh angel. To the seventh angel to reveal it to the people. That's God's divine order. Surely the Lord will do nothing until he reveals it first to his secrets, to his servants, the prophets. So the seals, only Christ could open them. Right. Only Christ could reveal them. But here on the earth in the seventh age, you have a prophet and you have the revealing of the Son of Man.
Right.
Christ operating in a prophetic office to reveal his word and to call his subjects, to call his bride, to call his church, and to stand there and say, come out of her, my people, saith the Lord, and be ye not partakers of her sin. Be ye not identified. You see, you've got to lose that identity and gain his identity. Remember, I told you this morning, the same level of worthiness it took to open the book was required to look on it. So for you to see your name on the Lamb's Book of Life means he has brought you, he has elevated you to his level of worthiness. Absolutely. That's absolutely right. He has justified you. He has sanctified you with his own blood. He has removed anything that was attached to you to defile you, and he has lifted you up to see it shows you have been brought into the same level of worthiness as himself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The devil can't do nothing with you. But he sent it down to the earth to a seventh angel to reveal it to his people. There you are. Oh, my. What happened? The screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the power, the anointed, the power, the glory, the manifestation. If you ever hear this on the tape, when Brother Branham's preaching this in the breach, that place was coming unglued. Because they realized this is happening now. The revelation of what has for thousands of years been a mystery is now being broken. It's being released right here, right now, through those channels.
Amen.
And friends, there was a day when it was released to me. It wasn't in 63 when I saw it, but many years later, Sister June, I heard my name called from that book, and it became quick and then real to me. Amen. And I got the same jubilee. I had the same Pentecost. Amen. Oh, my, it's wonderful. And it will have you say, but Tim, this is all Greek to me. Well, just hang on. Amen. There's a divinely appointed time. Amen. Just stay in that atmosphere. Stay in that environment. Stay under the preaching of the word. Amen. Keep seeking in prayer and fasting. Amen. God will break it open one day, brother and sister. And then there'll be nothing. The devil, he won't have enough demons in hell to stop you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let me see if I can move along here. Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to show, and I thought I'd say this too. You know, you get into some of these areas and people go, oh, they get real uptight. No, there was a time, that's what the, you know, and I'm just use a few labels here. That's what the Perugia movement, or that's what the Thunders movement, or that. Friends, those are scarecrows.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Those are scarecrows.
Amen.
But have you ever seen a farmer put a scarecrow on a dung pile?
No.
Puts a scarecrow where the fattest strawberries are. To an experienced bird, the scarecrow was the place to go. I'm not there to eat the scarecrow. I'm there to eat the strawberries that the scarecrow was trying to scare me away from. So all of these things that have been taught down through the years... And yes, there may have been imbalance, and there was, you know, a lot of times those movements were more about their leaders than they were about the actual message. But that should not make, the Brother Adam said the Catholics don't have the option on the cross. Just because they use a cross as their symbol doesn't mean we should quit having crosses.
Amen.
See past the scarecrow and realize there's a truth there that is so powerful. That's why the devil did what he did with it, to try to scare you away from it. But it's yours. It's your message. It's your truth. Amen. And when you digest it, it'll produce its, the very life of the message in you. Amen. So I just say that. Say, don't worry about the scarecrows. And I for sure am not here to try to point you to me or some ministry I'm trying to bring you into. Not at all, amen. I'm hoping you see Christ and him lifted up and glorified through the revealed word of the hour. Amen. In another place, Brother Bram says, the bridegroom call will come right through this message. You see, in another place, he says that's the king calling for his queen to come stand by his side. Oh, you're well taught. Here he's dealing in the first seal with the when the gospel goes back to the 144,000, and he'll say, "Oh, I got them in the house of my friends." See, one, then they'll realize that they have killed the Messiah. But what will he say? The same as Joseph did. You did it to serve life or save life. Don't be angry with yourself, because that the Gentiles would not have been brought in if the Jews hadn't done that blindfolded trick. So he saved the life of the church by the things that they done. So there you are. And that's the reason they can't understand this. It isn't the hour. That's something to think about. 144,000 are gathering right there in Israel when God's prophet was here on the earth. But it wasn't time. There's a divinely appointed time. Verse 2, or paragraph 258, no more we could understand these things until the time comes for it to be understood. Oh my, the seven thunders of Revelation, may he show the bride how to prepare for the great translation faith. Amen. I know I sound like a broken record, but... In the little illustration Brother Branham gave of the armor meatpacking man's son coming from, was it Illinois? And he went out west and he never found the character he was looking for in a girl in Illinois. So he thought, you know, I'll go west. And they heard, hey, the man's coming, this millionaire, and he's gonna have this big shindig, and he's gonna, you know, he's looking for a wife. And my, they put on the big shindig, and he danced, and they did all things. You know, they had their Western wear, their dresses, and all the frills and things on. And he was just as disappointed there as he had been in Chicago, I guess it was. And so he stepped out on the back, the back porch to get a breath of fresh air, and there he saw the little cousin.
She was related to all those girls inside, but she was a servant girl, not deemed, you know, fit or worthy to gotten dressed up and be a part of the ball. And she's out there throwing out the dishwater, and he speaks to her, and he says, "Do you know why I'm here?" She says, "Oh my," you know, she didn't want to speak to him. But see, he was revealing to her his purpose for coming. And she was having a very intimate conversation with him that none of the others were privy to. And then he says, "I see in you," and I'm paraphrasing, "I see in you the character that I'm looking for and longing for. And what is absent from all of these others, I'm here to find a wife. And I want you to be my wife." And she didn't even feel worthy, but, you know, she accepted his proposal. And he said, "Now, at an appointed time, I'm going to return, and I'm going to take you from this place to my home, to my mansion." And she went right back in there washing the dishes. He no doubt went back in there, and they finished the ball, and the next day he got on his horse, went back home. Now, all those girls, all those denominations that experienced his visitation went right on back to what they used to do. And the only one whose behaviors changed was the one who received the essence of why he came. And she started getting ready for his return. She kept on washing dishes. She kept on scrubbing floors. As far as they were concerned, nothing had changed in her value or worth. But her conduct sure changed, because late up in the night, she'd be burning a candle, getting that treasure chest packed up, getting her wedding garments prepared, and getting everything ready for his return. Now, the world saw a prophet with signs and wonders. The King of England was prayed for by him. Congressman Upshaw was prayed. The world testified God has visited this earth in a great healing and signs and wonders revival ministry. But there was another group that heard a voice that said, "I'm coming back." And it has put her into a mode of preparation to ready her for the return of Christ. She heard her name called by the message of the hour. Amen. The actual sounding of the trumpet, I'm kind of moving into the rapture here, which begins with a shout, which is a message to gather the people. Amen. It's together. They've got something called sympathetic resonance, where if a note is played and there's another, like if the note of E is played on that piano, any string here that's tuned to that same note will begin to sound. Why? Because it's tuned to the same thing. So when the message sounded, it caught the attention and made others who were tuned to the same thing, it began to resonate with them. It's the shout going to gather the bride, amen, or gather the attributes of Christ into him. The prevailing revelation of who he is, amen, is about to bring her into translation. Into changing our literal atoms. Amen. These bodies will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to meet him in the air who sent this message to us. Amen. To ready us for his return. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. John heard his name called from the Lamb's Book of Life. And then here, this little book, because there's now only a few names remaining to be called. Now it's just a little book. When John saw it in the Ephesian age, it probably had millions of names, perhaps. Now there's just a few left. But this book, and remember, Brother Branham creates a distinction between the revealing of it and then the actual calling of the names. But the message preached is calling the names of the elect. And you're hearing your identification. You're hearing, you don't hear Lee Vail or Aaron Roberts or June Dale. You're hearing your identification, Mrs. Jesus Christ. You're hearing who you were all along. And you're saying, "That's who I am.
That word, that is exact. Something is answering that, and the revelation is emerging. And the other is fading away. The other is drifting away. Everything that doesn't match that word is being honed away. Amen. I'm up against the clock again. Can we turn into Revelation chapter 21? And brother, get that picture ready. I do work from time to time. Since 2008, I believe, no, 2007, I went to Romania. 2008, I began to visit the Czech Republic. And this year in October, I visited the country of Hungary for the first time. But in the city in Czech Republic, there is a city there called Hradec Králové, and it's called the City of the King. They have a lot of castles in that in those countries and in Czech Republic. So this City of the King was where the king's throne was, where he lived, where he reigned, where he conducted the business and the affairs of the kingdom. We're in Hradec Králové, and that's not the picture that I'm showing you right now, but in the City of the King is where the capital, or it was the center of his dominion,
right.
Was there in that city. Now that king who had Hradec Králové also built another city. I don't remember the name of it, but it was called the City of the Queen. He built her own castle and her own city somewhere else. And he put a lot of distance there. And they said because she had her own agenda. She had her own affairs. She had her own things going on that was a hindrance to him and what he was doing. So he built his queen her own city somewhere off in the distance. So she had a city called the City of the Queen.
Right.
Now, this picture I'm showing you is a picture of the Parliament building in Budapest, Hungary, which is the capital city of Hungary.
Right.
I only had a few hours there on a Sunday evening after the meetings wrapped up. I had to fly out early Monday morning. So they took me to this city, Budapest, which is on a river. At one time, it was two countries, and one side was Buda, and the other side was Pest. Now it's one city, but this is the Parliament building at night, and I took this photograph from my phone camera through the window of a car. Quite a building. Quite a picture, right? So John, here in Revelation chapter 21, says, there came unto me, I'm in verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Maybe I could say this, I will show thee Christ, the mystery of God revealed in bride form. Come and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain. Now, one thing about these castles is they are often situated on an elevated place.
Right.
They are often situated up on the mountaintop for visibility and also for protection. To come against them, you got to climb and scurry all the way up the side of this mountain, and then you got to get over this great wall that they have built to fortify it. But remember, Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill, or a light that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. The bride is the same way. The castles are always situated in a place of prominence, a place of high visibility, and it's always where the real estate is worth the most. That's exactly right. I've traveled, I lived for 9 years in South Carolina. It's all throughout the United States. You go into a little town, it'll be flat as a flitter, and there'll be one little hill, and on that hill is the courthouse. On that hill is the most prominent place. Why? If a flood happens, it's the last place it's going to flood. It's the most expensive real estate in the town. Oh, my friend, I'm trying to help you see who you are. The bride, the Lamb's wife, is the most valuable. She's so valuable, he was willing to give his own life to redeem hers. Hallelujah. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light, and I've got this reference to Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. If you looked at that building just a minute ago, you notice it was illuminated. It looked like it was glowing. So is the bride. Praise the Lord. Her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, I showed you the Parliament building, but let me tell you something about that building and the castle of the king and the castle of the queen in Hradec-Králové, in Washington, D.C., in wherever. Those will one day all be powder, dust, and rubble. But let me show you another city. Let me show you what John saw. Can you bring it up, brother? John didn't see Jerusalem. John didn't see the temple that Jesus said, there shall not be one stone left on another. John saw these people right here. That's the bride of Hungary. And if you want to see that city, look in the mirror of God's word. And there you will see what John saw. You're a part of that this evening, friend. And you are the prevailing revelation. You are the mystery of God finished here in this hour, because you've been captured by the message of the hour, and the revelation of who Christ is taking preeminence. Hallelujah. And it's driving out every opposing force, every opposing spirit. Doesn't matter what it is. Sickness, affliction, spiritual warfare, whatever it is, he's going to conquer. Amen. He's going to conquer. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints, she'll be dressed in the message of the hour. She'll be wrapped in the garments of his righteousness. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus, we will feast eternally. Friends, that's what you're a part of tonight. Amen. By the grace of God. I'm so thankful for it. Amen. I appreciate your patience this evening. Appreciate you bearing with me. I love you with all my heart. Don't know if I'll meet you on this earth again, but I know we're going to meet there and cast our crowns at his feet and worship our Lamb, our King, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you like to stand this evening? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we could sing this little song. I believe, sisters, in the key of F. Don't lay any claims on being a song leader, but I love to worship the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Worship him now. Give him the praise he's worthy of.
I love you, Lord. A need tonight, reach out and touch the Lord. Do you believe he's here? As he passes by, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy. He will hear your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
As they continue to play that song softly, maybe you're desiring something in your life tonight, a touch from the Lord, healing, strength, encouragement. Healing is in the body. Amen. Why don't you just reach over brother to brother and sister to sister. Lay your hand on your neighbor. And I want to say this too. Let's pray for Brother Samuel Dale and his wife. Amen. Let's just regard our brother like they regarded Moses. You know, there come a time he couldn't lift his own arms up, so they came and lifted his arms for him, and God brought the victory. Lift up your pastor in prayer tonight, and his wife, and Brother Wade, and your officers here in the church, friends. This is not a time to abandon. This is a time to pull together in love and say, oh, God, come and move. Now let's just have a great prayer together. Lift your voice up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know tonight, Father God, your word says, the believer, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Lord, and no doubt in this body tonight are needs of healing, needs of deliverance, Father God, needs of strength, Father God. Maybe the enemy has come in to bring discouragement, Father, oppression, Lord, or to defeat them, Father. But Lord, we're not going to accept that tonight. Lord, we're laying hands on one another, praying now, Lord. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit bring a charge, Father God, of healing power, Lord, of virtue, of strength, Father God, of every redemptive blessing, hallelujah, that you purchased there on Calvary. Lord, then you are doing, Lord, the redeeming work. Now you're doing the claiming work, Father God. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, over these needs tonight, Lord, and over, Lord, our precious brother Samuel, Lord, and his wife, Lord, in their home and their children, and Lord, the ones that would be offering care, Lord, and support. Oh, Father God, may the Holy Spirit go there, Father, Lord, and break every spirit, Father God, every effort of Satan, Lord, to afflict, oh God, or to hinder our brother, Father. Oh God, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him right now, Lord. We believe not only that you're willing and able, but that you will, Father. You will perform it and receive all the glory and honor to yourself. Oh God, I thank you that there is a lighthouse here in Lula. Lord, there are children of the light that your revealed word is shining through them. Oh God, they are an illuminated city, Father God, glowing with the revelation of the hour. And Father, may they go forth tonight as brightly burning lights, hallelujah, Lord, to take the gospel, Lord, to the unreached, to the lost, Lord, as they go in their cars and to their homes and jobs and respective places, Father God, may you go with them, Father. We know the pillar of fire, Lord, is present where the word is preached. And Lord, it hovers over those hearts where the word of God abides. Give safe travel to each one, Father God, and bring them back at the appointed time. May you speak, Lord God, again in a great way. And Lord, we know we are living in the closing seconds of time. And Lord, we want to be fully ready. If there be anything in our hearts and lives, God, that wouldn't be ready, take it from us, Lord. We want to place it on the altar. May the Spirit of God, may the fire of God consume away everything, Lord. May your great sculpting knife, Lord, just shave away everything that's unlike you, that the revelation of who you are may prevail. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Let's just sing that again, and I'll turn the service over to our brother. You believe the Lord is present here right now? Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes.
Brother Branham said that when he was expounding on he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said that means that he's here right now. If you have a need, he's here. Now the word's gone forth. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. If you have a need, you've heard the word go forth to build up your faith and create that channel so that God can do something in your life. And we're here. We got plenty of time. If you need a touch from the Lord, don't leave without coming to receive from him. Let's just sing another and just keep worshiping the Lord.
He's got it all in
Amen.
Control.
He does, doesn't he?
He's got it all in control. He's put that way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Just turn it over to him now. Let's worship the Lord and yield yourself to Him. If the devil's got your life all in a turmoil, just turn it over to Him and watch Him align everything in your life.
So every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in His plan. I put my life in His hands. My Father knows what I need.
Love the Lord. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to have heard this message. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we go our different ways. And Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for today, so grateful for our brother pouring his heart out to us, Lord, and for the word that we've heard. And I pray, God, that as he travels back home later this afternoon, Lord, I pray you'll give him strength in his body and restore him, Lord Jesus, as he's just poured everything out to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with Brother Wade tomorrow as he's traveling back home, and all the different requests that we poured out to you, Lord Jesus. We come boldly, Lord, claiming as part of that seed of Abraham, Lord Jesus. Lord, we claim in the promises that you've given to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with the people as they go their different ways, Lord Jesus. And let these words that they've heard today echo in their hearts, Lord, to give them strength and encouragement, Lord, and to build up their faith, Lord God. Oh, God, surely revelation will give us power over the enemy. You've given us Satan's answer, Lord Jesus. No matter what gate comes before us, no matter what comes our way, Lord God, we to be able to look into the book and recognize our name and see that you've called us and know what our purpose is, Lord. Lord, you've given us a power, Lord Jesus, in this hour. And I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen your people, Lord, as they go driving on the roads this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Watch over them and take care of them, Lord, and just be with them, Lord, and bless them, Lord, we pray. Grant it now in your name. Amen. Sing it to him now as you... Sorry.